Burada gecenin doğu. Tam adı Cibindi. Cibindi'den biledim adı var. Cibindi. Cibindi'yle bu adı. Ta Cibindi'yle ya da karısı. Demba şey kuracağı diye hatırlı. Marbe. Dünge demba. Kuncu demba. Kuncu demba.
So we've arrived at the section of this particular text where we're going over the beings of medium capacity. So when we arrive at that section, that means that we must go over the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering, the truth of origin, the truth of cessation, and the truth of path. So because we've arrived at the medium capacity practitioner, it's necessary for us to go over these Four Noble Truths.
Oje ta jibun din san da theme basna jibare bor ta jibun din san theme basna jibare theba me ba sanglo me ba sanglo chu chu res ane rani jibo ane khu dungel tan thaba jang tu na nya be sanglo ma tu sha ju sam ba na ji ge se jen tha ji san ta be sanglo de me ba yin san sanglo me ba theba me ba lam me ba theme bas jibun din what the is the go sir.
And when we speak of the medium capacity, this is synonymous or the same as the Hinayana or the lesser vehicle. So the reason the lesser vehicle is called such, because it's a lesser type of thinking, it's a smaller way of thinking. It's seeking liberation for oneself alone, whereas the Bodhisattva vehicle, which is the great scope, wants to release all sentient beings from suffering and release them all from suffering and take them place to a place of enlightenment. So we can see that the Hinayanist or the lesser vehicle practitioner has a smaller scope in thinking because they only wish for liberation for themselves alone and do not focus on other sentient beings.
Chi dunge gai dunge ane chi dunge ane dunge duba dan trei dunge ma duba dan trebi dunge debi ngoba zeja manye bi dunge wa to su kanga khazon ru shui sabare su marba.
So previously we went over the first noble truth, the truth of suffering. In the truth of suffering, we spoke of the truth, the suffering of birth, the suffering of aging, the suffering of sickness, the suffering of death, the suffering of meeting with the unpleasant, the suffering of not meeting with what one wants, and the suffering of being separated from the pleasant, or the suffering of being separated from one's wants. So all of these types of suffering fall into the category of the truth of suffering, which is the first noble truth.
Jude kunjula ten shundiwaris, junyomo bi kunjula leji kunjula ten shundiwaris, kunjun kuyun juris, dude gnemi sambas kasanchine, dude nemi salamabena, tabaduni chichimichis, dune devadil chuyobate, yansan madana, ane tabaduni salamatakalikovris, smodia dodu lavinsaris.
So once one looks at the different truths of suffering and looks at the different sufferings, whether they're enumerated by three, four, or six, or however they're enumerated, one must look for the cause or the origin of those types of suffering. Because one cannot achieve liberation from cyclic existence if the causes of the suffering of or the root causes of cyclic existence are still present. So it's necessary for one to abandon the causes of the suffering so one can be free from free themselves from the root causes of cyclic existence.
Oje ta tene kunju la nyomo bi kunju da le ji kunju ni res do gen gi jo kunju da la ane nyomo bi kunju da ane le ji kunju ni yong go res ko a ben je gi le ko al je gi le de le ji kunju su la res dil troshi dege de sha khonu la so ba du sung ko lo nyomo bi kunju su la go res tini tu ba la ten ne ane do a re du do gen du go res ma re ba.
So when we look at the different kinds of origins, we see if there are afflictive origins and karmic origins. One creates various actions, and when those actions are combined, or creates various karmas, and when those karmas or those actions are combined with afflictions such as attachment, hatred, or delusion or ignorance, then those karmas or those actions become negative and cause cyclic existence to go around and around and around.
Ta nyomo ba nyomo bi kunju de sheba la nyomo bi kunju sheba de la kara se gure a nyomo ba ji rin ba nyomo bi jo nyomo bi nyemi an wa de ge sa ji su ku ni she mu do ta nyomo ba se gen kara se gure se nyomo se na kara se gure se na an nga su de sa ku ro lo so to nyomo la gure se kara ji ni nyomo se la gure se na nyomo ku ju le so na Semba de Madaba Zungwaris, Semadaba. Jetan your Mungalo, the Sakondola Zubi, Yomogangalo Lujidis, go Lujidis, Yoris, Taba Druids, you will not have read Yoris. Tay Yinsota, and then I'll see Julian your mood, Jim won't do, and then I'll see she did the Druid, and Debbie Mabazoon was the same Majibazoon, Saint Ju Majiba Shibi, she lay in the Saint Jushila and your Musagris.
So when we go over afflictions, we'll find that there are three sections. And afflictions, they have causes, for instance, and so forth. And when what is the nature of an affliction? So we'll be going over various sections. And what is the nature of an affliction? An affliction is something that when rises in the mind is imbued with a wrong consciousness or a mistaken view. That mistaken view causes the mind to be unstable and unhappy, or causes the mind to be unpleasant. And so this is what is meant by affliction. It's when an attachment comes into the mind and disrupts the mind, or a hatred or ignorance or any of these types of things come into the mind to disrupt it. This is what we call afflictions.
I forgot.
And so this wrong consciousness or mistaken view is the same as mistaking a rope for a snake. So it's independence upon believing that a rope is a snake that fear can arise. And it's independence upon these afflictions that are mistaken views, just as the mistaken view of the rope as a snake that cause all of our negativities. So once we have this mistaken view, then afflictions cause us to engage in various actions, and those various actions are imbued with afflictions, so they cause cyclic existence. So it is stated that the mind has no nature of this or that. The tsumanamdro. The mind has no nature of this or that can be found in the Pramana Vartika Kartika by Dharmakirti, meaning the mind is similar to a cloth and can be washed. So one can slowly wash away these negative imprints and afflictions by engaging in practices which leads them to realization, such as renunciation. And then the renunciation, or the desire to definitely get out of cyclic existence, then causes liberation, causes one to be able to be liberated from cyclic existence. So slowly, just like a cloth can be washed of a stain, our mind can be washed of the negative stains that are left in it.
What the ane dus kolol karasu kwal khugu haras de den waras.
So when we look at the next part, which is cause of afflictions, we'll see that the afflictions, the root cause of afflictions is the grasping at true existence. This is at the root. And in the center of the wheel of life, or the wheel of cyclic existence, we'll see in the center a rooster, a snake, and a pig, and we'll see that they're all chasing each other. And what this means is that one grasps at true existence, then becomes attached, then has some sort of aversion. So this ignorance that grasps, or delusion that grasps at true existence, then causes attachments, which causes hatred or aversion and so forth. So this is what is meant by these three animals chasing each other in the center of the wheel of life. And it's been stated in Nagarjuna's precious garland that if any action is imbued with the three poisons, if it is imbued with attachment, aversion, or ignorance or delusion, then it is necessarily non-virtue. And if it has the opposite of those poisons of attachment, hatred, and desire as its motivation, then it is necessarily virtuous. So if it is the antithesis of the three poisons, it produces actions which are virtuous. So what is meant by grasping at true existence? It's believing that external objects or objects have some true existence or inherent nature from their own side, exclusive of collection. So one has this grasping at true existence, then he or she encounters various forms or smells or feelings or tactile sensations, and then becomes attached to them and so forth. So it's based on grasping at the true existence or the inherent existence of these objects of observation that creates the wrong view relative to those objects that creates the grasping. So when one has an incorrect view of the I, for instance, the I or the ego, and believes that the I or the ego is not dependent, does not dependently originate, and therefore it is exclusive from its own side and is not nominally designated based on its collection, then that grasping at I is created based on this wrong view or this wrong consciousness. So when we speak of attachment, what is the attachment to? It's finding pleasure in, or finding the wonder in, or finding objects of observation wonderful and becoming attached to them, such as the external objects one can see, one can hear, one can touch, one can taste, one can smell, all of these things. So it's finding these objects wonderful that causes the attachment, or finding the desiring these objects or creating a desirous urge towards these objects that creates attachment.
That jidana yidwa yores, yidwa yore, yidwa yore, yidwa yidubare, yidwa yidubares, yoda pulisitubare, and then yidwasana yidwa karasubare, zeba meba, what to look like your bodies. In and the chaga yidwa la mine.
So it's not to say that the object itself can't be wonderful without having that attachment, but it's by becoming attachment to the beauty in the object or the desirous urge towards the object that causes this grasping at the object itself. So it doesn't mean, though, that the wonderful qualities of the object can't be experienced without attachment. It's that urge that then causes the attachment that creates this type of negativity. So what are the causes of afflictions? It is stated that there are three causes of afflictions. The first cause is that the afflictions have not been abandoned. So this causes them. So since the afflictions have not been abandoned, then they are necessarily there because of their lack of abandonment. So this is the first causal factor for afflictions. So also it's by staying close to those things of attachment. Becoming close to or close with those things of attachment that causes this affliction to arise. So the next is the improper mental conduct. Improper mental conduct is thinking over and over again about the object and how wonderful the object is. Then that improper mental conduct gives rise to the attachment. So this is the third cause. So then when we move on to aversion or hatred or anger, how does this come about? This has three causal factors also. The afflictions haven't been abandoned, and we stay close to the object of our anger. So this is a second causal factor, and we have improper mental conduct relative to the object of our anger's observation. So we think that this person harmed us, this person's very bad, this is no good. So we have this thinking, this improper mental conduct, and then suddenly this hatred or aversion is arisen. So these are the three causal factors for the hatred or aversion.
Okay,
so we can see that there's things that make us angry that are sentient and things that are non-sentient that make us angry. It could be a sentient being that makes us angry, but then a non-sentient thing, such as a wall we hit our head on and then we become angry at the wall.
Dundru.
So then one can become very angry and have these things and say there must be evil spirits, there must be harmful spirits or something going on here. And this might not necessarily be the case. So how does pride arise? Pride arises from thinking about one's things, thinking, oh, I have such a great, wonderful house. I have the greatest house in the world. My form is so beautiful. I have such great features. So pride arises in through this improper mental conduct. So this is when we speak of afflictions, this is how they arise.
Okay.
So then we have to ask, what are the faults of the afflictions? Why is an affliction faulty? So then there are many reasons why they are faulty, so we have to go over that. So why do we have to think that afflictions are bad? Why do we think that they are negative? It's because it's independence upon afflictions that suffering is created, and we don't want to have suffering. So this is a reason why afflictions are faulty, because it's independence upon them that we have to suffer. So we can find that attachment is very bad because we might become attached to something, and then after that attachment takes place, we become greedy or miserly because this attachment has taken place and we want it for ourselves, so we become miserly. And then we get angry if it is almost tried to remove from us. So we see how they fuel each other. We can see that all wars between nations are caused by attachment. When there are any problems within a family, for instance, this is the fault of afflictions. This is why we have to have these problems with our family members and arguments and so forth. It's all a result of our attachment. So when we look at these three poisons of attachment, aversion, and delusion or ignorance, we have to say, is there an antidote to them? And the answer is yes. The Buddha has prescribed an antidote. The antidote to attachment is meditation upon ugliness of the body or impurity of the body. So if anger is much stronger in one's continuum, then meditation upon love serves as the antidote to make the anger less. So if suddenly we become angry at someone and there is an angry interaction and then we think just like ourselves, that being wishes to have happiness, and we start to think, may they have happiness, then we've developed a meditation or familiarization with love, and then love and that hatred cannot exist, coexist together. And this is why that love serves as the antidote. So if ignorance is the worst problem or delusion, then meditation upon the nature of reality or emptiness becomes the antidote. And this meditation upon emptiness is the recognition that things dependently originate, so they are not truly established. So once one has this antidote, this also becomes an antidote to attachment, to hatred, to pride, and some of the other all of the other afflictions.
So there are
a few that have a more of a problem with pride. If one has a problem with pride, then meditation upon impermanence acts as an antidote. And if you meditate upon impermanence, then this can be lessened. Then there are those who have more of a problem with conceptuality or busyness of the mind. And if one has a more of a problem with conceptuality, then meditation upon the breath becomes the antidote to this. Meditation upon or focus on the breath. So we can't say, though, that the antidote for attachment is the actual antidote for hatred, because if we have the antidote for attachment, meditation upon ugliness or impurity, this does not serve as an antidote to hatred. But if we're to meditate upon dependent origination and emptiness, then this does serve as an antidote to all of them. So the other antidotes don't work for each other. The only antidote that is universal is meditation upon emptiness. So there is an idea that there is an I, an existent, an inherently existent I. Then actions are created by that being that believes there is an inherently existent I. And those actions are imbued with mistaken view or imbued with this negativity. So then these actions create negativity. Create non-virtue. These negative actions create non-virtue. So there are the three doors of the body, speech, and mind that we can create actions of virtue or non-virtuous. So if we create any of the 10 virtuous actions through our body, speech, and mind, then this is virtue. If we create any of the 10 non-virtues through these, our body, speech, and mind, then these are non-virtues of our body, speech, and mind. So we see that actions can be created in 10 ways, both virtuous and non-virtuous, through our body, speech, and mind.
Tonchu thongchoo nyongchoo ki lesa gares.
Lesa. Tamche lap. So when we look at negative karma, or we look at karma in general, we can see that there are three ways to divide karma. We can see that the first, we can say that they can be divided into karma that gives rise in this life, gives rise to a result in this life, karma that gives rise to result in the immediate next life, and karma that gives rise to result in future lives. So karma that gives rise to result in this life, if one engages in negativity that is very great or very grand, very large amounts of negativity, then this creates a result in this life, and this is called karma that ripens in this lifetime, or actions that create results in this lifetime. Maybe we can see an example of someone having to experience the sufferings within this life when we look at Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein is now experiencing a large amount of suffering, and maybe this is a suffering that is risen in this life. So it would be similar to this. So the karma which will give rise in the immediate next life, whether it's virtuous or non-virtuous, this is the second kind of, the second kind of karma is the karma that gives rise to in the immediate next life. And this can be virtuous or non-virtuous karma or action that one engages in. Then there is the action that leaves various seeds or imprints within one's continuum and can give rise eons and eons later. So it doesn't necessarily give rise immediately. And this is called karma or action whose results are experienced in future lives. It's very important for us to purify or confess or acknowledge these misdeeds, because we have created them since beginningless time. We've engaged in negative actions that, if are left unpurified or unconfessed, they will definitely give rise to negativity, and we do not wish to have suffering. So it's very important that we eradicate any negativities that we've created beginninglessly. So we can find in the Madhyamika Avatara, the entrance to the middle way by Chandrakirti, that it says that the Lung Yanja Surna.
Lala Lenga Yunin Lali Lala Sine.
So since one has created negativity since beginningless time, if they have not been purified or acknowledged, then these will definitely give rise to their results that are concordant. Another way to enumerate or to divide karma or action is throwing karma and completing karma.
Penji gile phenje de metan la de gwa ge leg phen yores doje mage du ba yong ge zeres man du nge ba da wa du sung lo mage wa ge zeres
the tama ya jer sur na mage
ta la da
ba da me de ge wa yin ba
phenje le na gwa yin cha ma phenje le na gwa yin cha phenje le de ba yo ma res
lasa
yin ya metan hal ji kasuguri jun yo batan yo
le
du nge batan wa tan jun na batan
go lo
ge mo be zo ba ji res zo ji nyo mo be zo ba res
So when we look at throwing karma and completing karma, if one is thrown into a rebirth into the higher realms, then this is necessarily a virtuous karma. If one is thrown into a human being or a demigod or a god's realm, then this is necessarily a virtuous throwing karma. But then we can see the details within those existences. And sometimes there are faults within those existences of the gods and the humans. And those faults are caused by non-virtuous completing karma. So the completing karma fills in the details around the existence, and if it is a faulty, then it comes from negativity or non-virtue.
That loju juwaris, and then ngayama jabaji ki chwete chiba shiba 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 shiba
shiba shiba There was a time when there was a man when a great stupa was being built, a great religious statue was being built by a king. And this man constantly complained and said, why are they spending all this money? Why are they spending all this time on making this stupa? But when the stupa was completed, the man saw how beautiful it was and really felt that it was wonderful. So he offered a golden bell to the stupa and hung it inside.
Tā kua jīvā shamā dhali nyēpā zhōndēn sō gōdhāl jīvārīs, nyēpā zhōndēn zhūbū chūchūng dū nyēpā shībū jīvārīs, kī nyēpā shībū yuārīs tā, kī dū nyēpā tā kua mē rēs, mē yīcāng pēnshī gāvārī gī lēk pēnbā rēs, kua chūtēn chībā jīn dū jā rīs kā tāngshābā tīgī, tēnē kua dū nyēpā tā zhūbū chūchūng chā zhōng rīs.
So then, in that being's next life, he was born in the human realm. Because he was born as a human, this is necessarily a virtuous throwing karma, but he had a very ugly, short body. So we can say that the completing karma there was negative. But because of this offering of the bell, he had a wonderful, melodious voice. So we can see how karma works in this example. So we can find another example, the example of the peacock. A peacock is completing throwing karma is a negative karma necessarily because he or she was born into the lower realms as an animal. So the throwing karma was negative. But the completing karma, we can see, is virtuous because a peacock has beautiful feathers and many wonderful ornate feathers. So we can see two things at work here. This is the difference between throwing and completing karma. There's also a way to divide action by white karma, black karma, and a combination of black and white karma. White karma is virtuous karma. Black karma is non-virtuous karma. And the combination of white and black karma is a combination of non-virtuous and virtuous action.
Tene ku mataba res, le te taba degma res, le te ngaanu res. Le te ngaanu du, ane sen ka le pasha janu res, marbe.
But although actions are created, they are not permanent, but they do leave imprints.
Wa te sen ka le pasha janu karshu gore ta, tene, te pasha janu tene, ta karshu gore. Gyi le dan, ma gyi le dan, loma tenge le, karasaba yin e, sen kong la pacha janu kiris, marba. gyi le dozo le dewa jaya gu nipa yuwa re, thal jaya gu nipa yuwa re, mali jaya gu nipa yuwa re, dibi le dunga jaya gu nipa yuwa re, nesung le jaya gu nipa yuwa re,
So when we look at action, we see that non-virtuous action gives rise to rebirth into the lower realms of the hells, hungry ghosts, and animals, and virtuous actions give rise to rebirth into the higher realms of the humans, demigods, and gods. So we can see this is the difference between various types of actions that we can engage in.
But
those beings that create actions are constantly dying and being born. Humans who are creating actions are dying and being born, and others who are creating actions are dying and being born. So we can see this cycle going on. Actions created, death happening, birth happening. So at the time of death, when we're dying, the various elements of the earth, water, wind, and fire element dissolve into each other. And the first thing that happens is the earth element dissolves into the water element, and one becomes very unstable. Tambo sa de jingit
sa de chula tin se
ga
sa chula tin se
it lapsar
sa chula tin se at sa ga nyu ba de nya ne chu nyu ba ko da ga de ri yu ne sa chula tin se la wo sa de
so it's stated that first the earth element dissolves into the water element and then there is more water present element present
ta sa de chula tin on du le ne ne ba yin na zo bu ta bu yo sa ma de la bu lo cha mi zo de
So once this takes place, then the body becomes very wilted or very flimsy.
So the chu
mei latin. So then the water element dissolves into the fire element. And what basically takes place then is the mouth becomes very dry and everything in the body begins to dry up, and especially the mouth becomes dry. And this is the dissolution of the water element into the fire element.
Chu malatin ba. Da me nyoba de nyayon du zobu de jamu chayon goris, chabu mebarin goris.
So then the may got the... So then the... fire element dissolves into the wind element, and then the body becomes very cold at that point. So when we see the cold, the body become very cold of someone who's passed, this is the cause by the fire element being dissolved into the wind element. So then the wind element dissolves into the space element, and the wind element is the element of wind running through us and the breathing in and out that takes place. Do you think side of their collection? Is that what I said? The collection is the parts that come together that form, make an object what it is. So that's what's meant by collection in the English sense. NGK, Chua. Zobala dene donagare, zubala dene donagare.
Zuba.
The dendel, yimba, dendel. The konga, demo, and drubi, and
micha. Dendel is on down the
Jeff, what's the result again when wind dissolves into space?
The wind dissolves, the wind stops. In the body.
Does it manifest in a particular way? Like the body becomes very cold on
the other side. The lung, nanka, la china, then gari gu.
That thing you had in there is, I'm not to go to the book of Dambu Chai, you do, kwa yoro, kwa jijile, Dambu to lung chai yoris. Then the gale, dread lay yoris. Tene chö chayo wares, tene sad chayo wares, ame tukun tambo chayo wade, tambo lung, tene me, tene chö, tene sa, sad tabo chayo wade, ting wade, tambo chayo wade naji tse ting wares, marwe, sa chö la ting chö, mwade ting, mwade lung,
lung
naji ting wade.
Then dene gare, bardo, kongi tri wa.
Tene tanda jia sung la, jil la de marwe, jia. Tene long de nashil tin, long nashil tin rwa, long nawa la tin se, nawa. Long de nawa, long nyoba de nyane, nawa la tin because ane nga su pal tin bi kuwa de shuu ge zaku nalu yo ariz, zaku lu. Tete ne ma za oma na ma le yung ariz, he yung du nepa le kalanan da jin hawa kaban da sha yung ariz, ma ya tuyan ba zaku de ma gali yo ariz. Then Oman Yale on the Malang, the Jig, Chaba Malambas. Then the Kunin Yandu does a tail on you, Natung the Jig, Rugas, Nitos, Sung Rimadus.
So it's stated that when conception takes place, first the wind is put in, and then the, what was the order? The fire is put in, then the water, and then the earth, so the body is. So that's why it goes the opposite direction. So when the wind dissolves within the body, various stages takes place, and then the white and red fluids come from the crown chakra and the secret chakra and come together and can create a moment of clarity if one is a practitioner. But that's basically what happens, and then one passes to bardo. Yeah.
Mal tuan bi kuat tu, orang ni alih orang tu, nama apa baca buat ni? Kini yang tu 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 orang tu, nama tu tu darz nama ni je.
So first the red color is experienced, and then there's more and more clarity that's experienced as that process dissolves.
Tapi nama tu, coba tu, ni tu sang lu tu sang kasu na, tu ni USA sekarang cawan tu, USA cawan USA, senjini tu cawan. Ane tuan kalau अने ना तामे ये बाला तांसिंग मासिंग ने जो हमारे नवा सेंसिबल जो है वो ये सेलो
So it's at that point once those three things have happened where the one has dropped the second has dropped and the third it coming together that's at that point that the very subtle clear light mind could be recognized at that point once those stages are completed.
Oh, did that be you say that that Dwari to call Pichi, Dwari to Sena, Zumel Pichi, Ayuji Mare, Zumel La Pichi Yenomena, Zumel La Yendo, you said you are this, Lewanki, you said this, Leton Yumu Wanki, you said you were this, Tang Hang Tune, and a co you said the Pichi, Jetuva, you know, you said the Tuni to Alhagunya, what the
So when we speak of the clear light in the sutric sense, we're speaking of the actual clarity of the mind. When we speak in the tantric sense, we're speaking of the clarity of oneself as a deity, the clear light mind, and the clarity of oneself as a deity. So once that experience is passed, then one goes to the intermediate state.
When one leaves the intermediate state, when one's leaving the bardo, is there the possibility of experiencing
Then bardo, jewa shimala drona, sem use the datudwe, yanjer.
Uese denga batang padu tuwa dunya res. Uese meba cha batang padu tuwa dunya res. Uese te padu kse ngondo jango res. Marbe. Ta padu te ane ngesung padu inanda, denuk padu in cheyo maris. Uese te padu kse ngondo jango res.
So it is the clear mind that is in the bardo itself, that but then it is experienced again at the end of the cycle. So when one is in the intermediate state and they're taking on the form of the rebirth that they're going to take on, their bodies are very light, but they still have sense faculties and so forth and can experience the other humans around them in the intermediate state. So we can say that they can experience these things, but they can go very quickly to different places because their body is in the nature of light. There's no solidity to it. So it's we need to think that it's the mind that is going up to through these things. So then one might experience the bardo intermediate state, and then they're in the intermediate state moving around, and then they might see the private parts of the mother, or it might not even be like a regular private part that we'd see. We'd be like a flower, and then the condition is present, and they're born into that particular state. So it's similar to playing in the bardo, or moving around in the bardo to various different places to arrive at the destination.
So there
have to be both. The mother has to have the karma to have that particular child, and the child has to have the karma to have that particular mother. So both of those have to be present for the rebirth to take place. Oh, okay. And the sperm itself of the father has to be fresh and pure when it meets the egg. Yeah, if it's been the sperm itself isn't good enough or potent, then it won't produce a child either. So if one is in the bardo and has a greater familiarization with negativity, then they'll be born in the lower realms. If one is in the bardo with a greater familiarity with positivity, then he or she will be born into the higher realms. So if both are equally present, then whichever happened first, the negative or the positive, is what produces the rebirth. So it's been many years that we've familiarized our minds with misdeeds. So we've had many years experience with these types of things, so many births. So then, when the rebirth takes place from the bardo into the womb, then first the wind element is created, then the fire element is created, then the water element is created, and then the earth element is created. And at the time of death, the opposite happens. The earth dissolves into the water, that dissolves into the fire, that dissolves into the wind, that dissolves into the space. So this is how rebirth again and again takes place. So if one reaches the state of foe destroyer, then they are not thrown around by their karma and afflictions, and then it's a different type of body that they have.
So Then I took a legal and don't think it was June. Lamp out of which you change my dear mother. What the legal.
We need to go slow because if we unfold this too quickly, we won't ascertain the essence. So maybe we want to do dedication now? Did you have a question, Sasha?
No, I'll ask you.
Okay.
I have
many eons. Many eons of questions. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient living beings enjoy this pure realm. Send forth virtues, and especially the venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this mandala to you, precious Guru. Zanye jin du mi de o wa ni dro gun nan da ji la ju ma jo da gi jin e za be ge wa di ten dan dro wa kun la gon ben dan Che ba je tsun lo zan dra ba yi ten be ring po jin du se je jo ye dam guru ra na mandala kam ni ra ta yami. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors of the verse of three times, I also dedicate all my wisdom. Nyam bel bau jita jen pada kundu sampo deya dejin pre deda kundi jesu dalo ju rima dida tanche ratu kundu sampe be jawa nanche ji ngawa kama chotu ngapa de dajin sawa dikun jang Sampo In the heavenly realm of Tibet, surrounded by a chain of snow mountains, the source of all happiness and health for beings is Tenzin Gyatso Chenrezig in person. His life be secure for hundreds of kalpas.
Lord, Drew, would you show my mind?